Farnsworth, E.W. Robinson, A.T. Cress, D.H. St. Helena, California, July 10, 1901. Dear brethren, Farnsworth, Robinson, Cress, and their companions. I was severely taxed all through the General Conference. At times, I was so sick that I feared I must refuse to speak. But by being helped to the stand, first by one and then by the other of my children, and asking the people to pray that God would strengthen me, I stood before several thousand people, assured that the angels of God were by my side, blessing and sustaining me. I shall write more fully of the General Conference later on, and speak of the goodness of the Lord toward me, because I honored him by walking out by faith. It was difficult for me to get through with the meeting, because the air in the tabernacle was so polluted. The exhalations from the many lungs made the atmosphere a death trap. Some felt that they must attend every meeting, and many times during the conference, every seat in the gallery as well as in the body of the house was occupied, and also the steps leading up to the gallery. And frequently, a large number of people stood wherever they could find standing room. In the body of the house, every seat was taken, and many had to stand. During the conference, I was very weak with my recent sickness of malaria and bloody flux, but even when speaking, I was silently praying to God whenever I could hesitate a moment. Frequently, I dared not limit myself to 1 hour in speaking. I frequently spoke for more than 1 hour, and God strengthened me. How could I keep silent? How could I give an indulgent, commonplace talk when my soul was deeply feeling the perils of the people? A burden had been laid upon me, and I felt the necessity of speaking, even though it be at the peril of my life. I knew this peril, and therefore paused for a moment from time to time to send my unuttered prayer to the one who has said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Our Heavenly Father knows that we have need for the preservation of every faculty and the lengthening of our lives. Every gift of God should be preserved in such a condition that it will fulfill His will and way. Sometimes, when speaking, I knew that the house of God had not been thoroughly cleansed from the terrible poison in the once breathed air. Then, the second time, the air was poisoned by the breaths of the thousands who were present. But I could not change the order of things. The science of properly ventilating the meeting houses in which the Lord is to meet with and bless His people has yet to be carefully considered, so that God can give the Church that knowledge of His Word which He desires His people to possess. Men who understand the science of proper ventilation should be called upon to investigate the ventilation of our churches. Near the close of the conference, I attended a meeting where it was extremely difficult for me to speak. The impurity in the atmosphere seemed like a dense wall before me. The people suffered, and the speaker suffered, not only at the time, but afterward. The Lord is kind to the human family, and He desires them to be kind to themselves. They are not to run risks by inhaling air which has been breathed over and over again. While speaking, I could but think, will the people of God be always ignorant? Will they not study to bring right methods into the holy service of God? The words which God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai come sounding down along the lines to our time. "Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Exodus 19, verse 10. Heaven is all purity and holiness. The child of God must obey the laws which pertain to cleanliness and godliness. I have been sick, oh, so sick, and yet I would not give up. Several days ago I said, "We must drive to Healdsburg." So yesterday morning, Miss McEnterfer, Maggie, and I started from our home. We left very early in the morning and took our breakfast with us. When about 18 miles on our journey, we ate our simple fare and were refreshed. As soon as we reached Healdsburg, responsibilities were placed upon me. That night I suffered much with my heart and dared not write.
I thank the Lord that death has not separated Brother Cress from his wife. Pray in faith for the Lord to spare his servant, for you need him. I am so thankful for the good meeting that you had. If all will do their best, the Lord will be their helper. I am often with you in mind. Oh, let great care be exercised in speaking. Guard the spirit which dictates the speech. Ever let your words be firm, decided, courageous, but never, never, never cater to false principle. There has been enough of criticism. This creates a malarious atmosphere, a spirit which comes from blank. Just here, my eyes closed, my pen dropped. I have had so little sleep that I can scarcely keep my eyes open. I have many things on my mind, which I must write out while the day lasts. We will pray courage. We will talk courage. We will work with courage, praising the Lord with heart and voice. My brethren, I am so glad that you cherish the principles of true education in our school in Australia. It is essential that we know for ourselves that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Continue to teach solid, practical godliness. Let hearts be drawn out after God. The Bible is the greatest educating book in the world. I am rejoiced to hear that one of Mrs. Minchin's sons has been converted. Many need thorough heart revival and reformation. God will be with you individually, just as long as you will be with Him. I feel deeply for you in all your struggles. Together we have fought the battles, and we have seen of the salvation of God. Expect the Lord to do great things for you. I am so sorry that the work of erecting the sanitariums is retarded because, instead of walking with God, men have walked in the light of their own understanding. They have been consumers and not producers. This is why the work has been hindered. The wrongdoers, who do not build up but tear down, should be converted, else God will turn his face from them. I hope that the work will be carried forward at Martinsville. I have great confidence that Mr. Barnes will yet come to a knowledge of the truth. I hope such men as Mr. Pringle, Mr. Barnes, and Mr. Conley will be sought out. Give them your personal attention. These men would be able to do much good if they accepted the truth. I hear that Brother Hickox is coming back to America. Well, if the Lord says come, there is plenty of room for Brother Hickox here in the work. Things have been conducted in this country in such a way that there has been a great lowering of the standard. The Lord calls for the standard to be uplifted. But this is not an easy thing to do, for self has so long held the supremacy that it is magnified and God is not glorified. We so much need obedience to a plain, thus saith the Lord. The divine promises cover all the earthly changes of the Christian. They are not only for him, but for his children, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. They embrace temporal and eternal welfare. Dear brethren, will you not hope much? Will you not believe much? Will you not stand as if you knew that you were on the very borders of the eternal world? Let everyone make the Lord Jesus Christ his trust, staying himself upon his God. Do not look for smaller, but for larger things.
The divine word is the bread of life. Take it, read it, believe it, practice it. Gather fresh strength each day and be sure to keep the life fragrant with good works. Whatever others may say of you, go right along, and God will vindicate your righteousness. Envy and malignity have sharpened the arrows of the wicked against the just, but the Lord will give deliverance. In the mighty conflict with self and sin, victories are for those only who walk humbly with God. Oh, how hard it is to make an impression on the minds of those who have long disregarded the plainest instruction. My brethren, your strength and my strength is in God. We cannot always see the wisdom of God's plans, but the Lord continues to work in spite of men's misunderstanding of Him. Soon the mist will have cleared away, and God's greatness, majesty, justice, and righteousness combined will vindicate the completeness of all His plans. We must rejoice more in the Lord. We have lost many victories because we do not appreciate the Lord's blessings. Let the voice of rejoicing and triumph be heard. Let it be known that we appreciate the goodness of God. Let us often speak His praise in love. Be true to principle. I will be glad to write more fully to you when I am not so much in need of rest. Be assured that we are united with you in the Lord. Instead of complaining, let us praise the Lord. Let us draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. He will be our help if we work close by His side. Although Brother Davis has been overcome by the enemy, the Lord will give him victory on the points where he has been weakest. Help him. Never discourage and denounce one who needs your helping hand. Brethren, we must never push poor souls into temptation, but instead, lift them out. Oh, that God would help everyone to subdue and to chastise himself. But to be terribly afraid that in seeking to chastise others, he will lose his first love. I am sorry that I cannot send you something more interesting, but I must close now as the mail goes tonight.